When I read Isaiah, I'm always surprised at that, you know, when the angels bow down and they exclaim, "Holy, holy, holy," is because there's three in one, amen? They're holy to the Father, holy to the Son, and holy to the Holy Spirit, amen? So they cried out because the God of the Christian is three in one, amen? It's such an amazing thing. And every time the angels, you know, I was reading that every time the angels bow down and they get up once again to worship God, it says that they see a new face that they've never seen ever of God's. And that's why they throw themselves once again and exclaim, "Holy, holy, holy." Every time. Isn't that awesome? That every time they see God, they see something new, something fresh. That's why through eternity we'll be learning about the character of God. Amen? It is such a privilege to be here before you this morning. And I want to start with the Bible promise. I have two actually this morning. It's something that I always do before my sermons. And the reason why I do this is because I believe that the whole Bible is full of promises. Amen? It is the promise of the plan of salvation, the plan of what God wants to do in humanity, and how God wants to bring once again humanity back to the origin, the beginning, having communion with God face to face. And in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 4, if you turn there in your Bible, Psalms 27 verse 4, David said that there was one thing in life that he had desired. Now remember, David was a king of Israel, and he had everything that you can ever want or imagine. He was money, anything you asked for, he had it. But there was one thing that surpassed all the things that he wanted in this life, and this is what he said: "One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I may seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord." It is such a privilege, my brothers and my sisters, to be here all together. Let me tell you, in the presence of the Almighty God. I don't know about you, but I believe that God comes and dwells among us as we worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to take you to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, for our second promise. Revelation chapter 21. And this is one of my favorite promises. Revelation 21. And let's read verse 3. Revelation 21 and verse 3. Are you there? Amen? The Bible tells us, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Isn't that precious? Such a precious promise. God will dwell with them and be their God. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, for the former things have passed away. Oh, I can't wait till that happens. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world full of pain and sorrows. But Jesus will put an end to that. I don't know if that doesn't make you excited. I know what will. Let's bow our heads. But before that, let me ask you. I'm sorry. I didn't want to make you do that. But let me ask you three favors from you before we pray. Can I do that? Yes? Amen? All right. The first favor I want to ask you is that you please will listen. Many times, because how long the week has been, you know, we tend to take a little nap during church. But let's save that for later. Amen? So let's try to stay awake. If you're falling asleep, stand up, walk outside, take a breath of fresh air, and then come back inside. Amen? Let's do that. Number two, can you do that first one for me? All right. And number two, if you see somebody falling asleep, lean over and just tap them very gently. Okay, can you do that for me? Say amen. All right. And number three, the most important, I want you to, from time to time, to pray for me. Amen? I'm not God. I cannot present whole truth unless He uses me, unless He anoints my lips. So from time to time, I don't want you to stand up and start praying and shouting. I want you in your mind just say this prayer, Lord, please give him the words to speak. Amen? Can you do that? All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father in heaven, I come boldly to the throne of grace because I know that there is a name who you cannot reject, the name of Jesus. And I come to you in that name, asking you the promise for myself found in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 that says, And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and he put his word and said, I have put my words in your tongue. I have put my words into your mouth. Lord, I claim this promise that you give to Jeremiah. I pray that you put your words in my tongue. Hide me behind the cross, and may your Holy Spirit, Lord, be present here so that the truth that is spoken through your word will touch our hearts, open our minds. Help us to be not just hearers, but doers of your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen and amen. Can you name me some good attributes from the character of God? Love. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness. Keeping mercy unto thousands. Forgiving and not forgetting. Grace. What else? Patience. Patience, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. That verse is just full of promises, isn't it? About who God is. His character. Anything else? He's omnipotent. He's our intercessor. Love and kindness. I hear something over here on my left. Just. Ah, there is so many throughout Scripture, isn't there? Can any of you tell me bad characteristics of God? Somebody this morning said jealous. I wasn't expecting that. I don't think that's one of them. But if we look at God's character throughout Scripture, we will find that God's character is always the same and never changes. Do you agree with me? Say amen. The Bible goes to the extent to tell us that He is the same today, yesterday, and throughout eternity. God never changes. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that God is not a man that he shall lie. The book of James tells us that there is no turning, no shadow of turning with him. That means that God, we can say, so that we can understand, is straight like a what? Like an arrow. He never changes. My brothers and my sisters, God is a God of His Word. I was expecting a little bit more harder amen than that, but it's okay. We're working on it. Let me repeat it. God, and I don't know if you get it, but God is a God of His Word. That means that whatever God says, He does. He doesn't change. He is the same. Are you getting me? Say amen. God never changes. And that's why, my brothers and my sisters, I want to bring to you that the basis for our belief should be upon who God is and not upon what He does. Do you understand that? Many times, or many people base their faith, their belief upon God, upon what He does. And circumstances can change. Yes or no?
We have experienced that, and some of us very closely experience just within this month of how circumstances can change, how the value of the things, how where we put our value, where we put our treasures can change immediately. Circumstances, the things that surround us, we are living in a world that is continually changing. Nature is what? Turning itself what? Upside down. Countries are fighting one against another. There is circumstances. The things that surround us are always changing. But there is one thing, my brothers and my sisters, that never changes, and that is who? God. His character will always be love and justice, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. But He will not forgive iniquity, the Bible tells us. He will visit iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, and to the third, and to the what? Fourth generation. God never changes how He does things. I want you to catch that vision. Are you there with me? Because we cannot go if you do not understand that. If you understand that, raise your right hand. God, say it with me. God never changes. Basis for our belief. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to study the Bible this morning because I cannot preach unless I preach from Scripture, because then I will just be sharing my personal opinion. And I don't want to do that. So let's go to Scripture. Amen? Genesis, what chapter are we going to? Are you still with me? Chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and let's begin reading with verse 1. Now, we're not going to have time to read chapter 39, chapter 40, chapter 41, but I encourage you to read those chapters and to study them very closely, because upon those chapters, we can find such precious truths that can help us with our Christian walk. I don't know about you, but I like practical Christianity. Something that I can grasp, something that I can put to practice in my day-to-day life. Amen? And let me tell you something. I can talk and talk and talk and talk until I'm blue. But the hardest thing about Christianity is actually putting to practice what we learn in Scripture. Amen? How many of you will agree with that? The hardest thing. It is easier to say, yes, I pay tithe than do it, isn't it? Or yes, I go to church on Sabbath and I keep the Sabbath than doing it, really doing it. Amen? It is easier to say things. So let's see what we can learn. The story of Joseph. Where is Joseph going in this chapter? And he's going as for vacation with his family. You tell me, what happens? How is he going? In what stage? He is going as a what? As a slave. To a foreign land with no family, no parents, no guidance, nobody that he knows, no friends. He is going by himself as a slave to the land of Egypt. His situation has changed, yes or no? Yes. Where did he find himself before that? In a pit. Who put it there? Who put him in there? His brothers. Did his situation change in that aspect, yes or no? Yes. What was his stage before he was put in the pit? He was what? He was in a loving home. His father loved him. He gave him a nice little collar suit. Joseph's environment changed, didn't it? But his faith was upon who? Upon God. How do I know that? Verse 2 tells us. Chapter 39, verse 2. Are you there? Amen? The Lord was with who? Now, in order for God to be with you, what has to happen? You have to what? be with him. How do you enter into a relationship with God? There's one word I'm looking for. You have to make a commitment. Another word for commitment is a decision, a choice. That's what I was looking for. You have to make a choice that you want to follow God and His principles. Amen? It has to be a conscious choice. And it has to be an individual choice that you have to make as an individual. Amen? Nobody can make it for you. Your parents, even though they bring you to church sometimes by force, cannot make it for you. Your spouse cannot make that decision for you. How do I know that? If you read Patriarchs and Prophets, we don't have enough time to go through that, but Patriarchs and Prophets tells us that on the way to Egypt, Joseph began remembering the promises of Scripture that his father had taught him. He began pondering upon that. As he was going towards Egypt, he began pondering upon Scriptures. And as he began pondering upon Scriptures, she tells us that he made a choice to surrender his life to God. That no matter what happened, he was going to be faithful to God. Can you tell me of any other Bible character that was in sort of the same situation as Joseph? Daniel. Now let's turn there. Daniel, and we're going to the first chapter of the book of Daniel. How many of you pray for me thus far? Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Daniel, and we're going to the third chapter. No, the first chapter, I'm sorry. And when you're there, let me hear you say amen. Now we know what's happening. Daniel and his three friends are taking what? Captives. And since we don't have a lot of time, we're going to say we know what the situation is. They were put in a situation. Did it change their environment? Yes. But what happened? Daniel, Mishael, Shadrach, Hananiah made a choice, a conscious choice to follow who? God. To obey who? To follow whose principles? Not their own principles, not their own ideas, but God's ideas, God's principles. And where do we find God's principles, my brothers and my sisters? Where do we find it? In the Scriptures. So we can safely say that Daniel and Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their faith in who God was. Through what? Through what? Through Scriptures. It was not this idea that they had of who God was. It was what they had found out for themselves in Scripture. Of who God was. Let's go back to Joseph. Chapter 39. We know that his situation changed when Potiphar's wife, we can say Mrs. Potiphar, began looking at Joseph and saying, wow, this guy is handsome, he's smart, he's strong. We know what happens with the story. Joseph is accused of what? Sleeping with Potiphar's wife. And you know what's so interesting? The Bible tells us that Potiphar did not believe his wife. Do you see that? Potiphar did not believe it. Because if he did believe his wife, Joseph would have been what? Right there. Boom. Done. Finish. But Potiphar, because he knew who Joseph was, he knew the character of Joseph that didn't change, Potiphar sends him where? To jail. And what happens there? Once again, his environment, what? Changed. The situation where he found himself changed. He was exalted to be the head household of Potiphar's house. But what happens after that? boom, goes to where? But did Joseph's faith in God change, yes or no? No. Once again, everything is exalted, given to him, to the point where he becomes what? We can say the right hand of who? Of the prisoner, but then after that, he becomes the right hand of Pharaoh. Joseph was faithful to God. Why? Not because he was different, guys. I don't want you guys to think that. Joseph was faithful to God because he put his trust in God. His trust was upon God. His trust was not upon himself, but upon God. Let's go to our scripture reading. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 and 29. All right, we're almost done. And I want you to look with a sad face when I say that. I see a sad look in your face when I say we're almost done. All right, Matthew chapter 9. And let's read verses 27 and 29. And I want to ponder upon the words of Jesus. But let's pick up the story in verse 27. When you're there, let me hear you say amen. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men follow him, crying, saying, Jesus, have mercy on what? On us. That's a sermon in itself. Mercy on us. But let's look at verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came and followed him inside. Jesus said unto them, what? Now, I want you to, let's look at this question that Jesus is asking to the blind man very carefully. Jesus was not asking the blind man, do you know that I am going to do this? Was he asking that? What is his question? What is Jesus' question to the blind man? Do you believe that I am what? He didn't say, I am going to do this. He says, I what? I am able. What was Jesus saying? What? Do you have faith in me? Okay, but it goes more than that, guys. Remember, our faith is not upon what? What God does, but on who what? All right, so Jesus is asking them what? Do you believe I'm God? Do you believe that even though I can choose not to set you free from your blindness, do you still believe that I am able? Even if I choose not to do it. That's what Jesus is asking them. Do you believe that I'm what? Able. Not, I am going to do this. Do you believe that I am able to do it? See, that's why Jesus is asking them, if I choose to do it or if I choose not to do it, would you still believe that I am God? See, that's where our faith begins to be shaken, my brothers and my sisters. Yes, we believe that He is God. Yes, but sometimes God does not answer our prayers. And sometimes our faith is shaking because of that. And I want to show you an example of someone whose faith was not shaken. There was three young men, and you probably already know where I'm going with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel. Let's see who can beat me there. Amen? I'm there. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14. We know the story, very familiar with it, but let's just look at it really quick. Are you there? Amen? Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, nor serve the image or bow down to the image that I have made. Is it true? Now let's look at the response of the three Hebrew brothers. Amen? Let's look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God who we serve is what? Oh, I love that. Our God, look at Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us out of thy hand. Look at this. Let's continue. To deliver us out of the burning furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand. Is that a statement of faith? Yes or no? Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. They're not even blinking when they're saying this. They're saying, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, and our God will deliver us. There was no shadow of doubt in their minds. But look at what they say after that. But if not, I want you to pay close attention to the very next words he says. What? But if not. Oh, this is where our faith shakens. What about if God doesn't do it? He's still God. Oh, you didn't get it. Maybe 2-3 brothers. And amen for that. I was expecting it. My brothers and my sisters, the Hebrew brother said, even if God doesn't do it, he's still God. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if he throws us into a fiery furnace, if we get burned, if we never see God ever again. This is the same faith that Jesus had upon the cross. No different. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus says, to him that overcometh, even as I also overcame, and I sat down with my Father in his throne, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. See, the same way that Jesus overcame is the same way that we must overcome. See, our faith has to come to that standard, my brothers and my sisters, that no matter what happens, just like Jesus as he was hanging on the cross, he could not see through the portals of the tomb, the Bible, the spirit of prophecy tells us in the book, Desire of Ages. He could not see. He thought that he would be eternally separated from his Father, even though he exclaimed saying, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though he exclaimed, he could not see the Father, he said in his last prayer, into thy hands I commit my spirit. See, Jesus, the Desire of Ages tells us that he could not feel the presence of God. The light of the glory of God was shut off from him to the point that not even angels were able to minister unto him. I want you to picture this. But Jesus went to the point that says, even if he doesn't deliver me out of death, he's still God. Have mercy. I love Jesus. And I want to serve him even though sometimes it doesn't seem like he's around. Because I know that my God does not sit back and enjoy suffering. He is there always with us. Amen. He is with us, my brothers and my sisters. And we need to understand as we study Scripture, we need to see how God never left Israel, even though Israel was continually separating themselves from God. God was continuing to be there. He was always there with them. I will finish with this verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And this will be our last text. And once again, I want to see a sad face in you when I say our last text. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is one of my favorite. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to what? Please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he what? Is. Before you come to God, you need to understand that He is God no matter what. And your faith has to be based upon who God is and not upon the things that He does. Jesus told a parable in Luke 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man continued to ask Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, send someone to my family so that he can minister unto them and that they cannot come into this torment place." Father Abraham answered unto the rich man and said, "Nay, for they have Moses and the prophets." Then the rich man said unto Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, if they would see a man coming from death, they will believe." Father Abraham said, "If they did not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe, not even though one will rise from the death." What was Jesus saying? What was Jesus' lesson? Our faith needs to be based what? Upon the Word of God. If we do not believe the Word of God, it doesn't matter how many miracles God does in our lives, we will never recognize Him. Why? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, Jesus hanging on the cross, passing before Jesus. Jesus is doing something, the greatest miracle ever performed in the history of the world. And yet, what do the Pharisees and the Sadducees say? "Come down from there. Oh, look at him. Others he could save. He himself, he cannot save himself." And then they said something that was blasphemous. He says, what? "Come down from there. And then we will believe in you." They were looking for a miracle. They were looking for a sign. And Jesus had told them, time after time after time, "A sign shall not be given unto thee except the sign of Jonah. For he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. So the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. And on the third day, he shall rise." The greatest manifestation, the greatest miracle ever performed was there in front of their faces, and they did not believe. Do you think that if Jesus would have come down from the cross, they would have believed? No. Absolutely not. And Jesus says, "He who comes to me must believe that I am a God of my word. A God that does not change." And then the Bible tells us at the end of verse 6 in chapter 11 of Hebrews, that He is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, my brothers and my sisters, I have nothing against miracles. I want to see them. I want God to use me to do miracles for Him. But my faith cannot be based just solely upon what God does. Because in the last days, my brothers and my sisters, there will be a group of people who will be completely taken away from the truth because they base their faith upon what? Signs and wonders. And let me tell you, Satan has lots in his pocket that he is going to perform, in the last days. How many of you want to say, "Lord, I want my faith, my belief to be founded on your word"? Raise your hand. If that's your desire, please stand with me. Remember, you're not doing this for me. You are saying, this is between you and God. When you answer a call, an altar call, you are answering it to God, not to the preacher. You are saying, "Lord, I understand the message that was presented. Lord, I understand that my faith sometimes wavers, but I want my faith to be solid, founded upon the Word of God, upon who you are, because you never change." If that's your desire, say amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, you can hear the voices of our hearts exclaiming and saying, "Lord, we want to have a real faith in our lives. Help us, Lord, to continue to get to know you through Scripture so that our understanding of who you are will never be moved nor shaken, no matter what situation we are put into. That we will be faithful as Joseph, that we will be faithful as Daniel, and most important, Lord, that we will be faithful like our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, help us to live our lives by faith. I speak for myself, Lord. Hear my prayer, O God. I need this type of experience in my life. Help me, God. Help us as a church. Help us as individuals to truly understand that we are not playing games anymore, but this is serious business. Lord, help us continue to grow us in faith as our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.